Note to self.
It's 6 o'clock, and we welcome everybody out to our city council meeting tonight. It's good to see all of you here. I'm sure you're all on stage for the whole meeting. So, plan for the long haul, huh? Anyway, welcome. We're going to begin the meeting with an invocation and a pledge of allegiance. It looks like we have Richard for an invocation. The pledge, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do the invocation first.
Hey, Father, we're thankful this night that we can pray with the mountain and attend in our civic duty that we have. We pray for the welfare of all of us out here that we'll be able to return home safely. That the program will go as planned. We are grateful for this beautiful state we have to live in, and pray that they'll please bless us with a mercy that we stand in need of. And we say this name, Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I don't see Nick here from the fire department, so we won't have his presentation. We want to welcome tonight all of the scholarship recipients here, and recognize each one of you. So we have Aspen Higgins, Stacia Leavenworth, Mason Johnson, Megan Hall, Jaron Ants, Court Galindo, Gideon Iverson, and Tyson Shirley, who all have received scholarships from the city. We're glad we're able to find money to give to all of these young women and young men, and I think it's a great thing that we can offer these scholarships. We'd like all of you to come up and have your picture taken, and so if you come up here, all of you that are here, we'd appreciate that.
You too, boss.
Oh man, I'll ruin the picture.
We need someone there to make it look small. Over on that side, right? We'll do this.
Tyson Shirley couldn't make it tonight. I guess he had to work. So.
Correct. You want to just bail out this way a little bit? You guys in the back? Come up this way. There you go. It's great to see you. Three, two, one more.
Perfect. Now, while you're up here, why don't each one of you tell us where you plan on going to school, okay? Start with you.
Oh, I'm going to JC Tech. BYU. Dixie Tech and then Utah Tech.
All right, thanks for coming tonight, and we're glad to recognize all of you, so thank you.
Did you guys all get an envelope with the how you get reimbursed? Okay, there should have been an envelope with your name on it plus the certificate.
Thank you. I didn't realize I was supposed to hand them to them.
Oh.
I put it on the table there.
Oh, okay. Check with the high school, and if they don't, come on in and I'll get you a certificate and envelope. That expires tomorrow, so you might want to ask.
Thank you. discussion on that. So, do we have any discussion? Apparently not. I'll entertain a motion for the consent agenda.
Mayor, I'll make the motion that we approve the consent agenda with the declarations of conflict of interest, the agenda, meeting minutes of May 7th, 2025, regular meeting, checks and invoices for $190,039.01.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Blair?
Yes.
Patty?
Yes.
Yes.
Martha?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. The next item on the agenda is the public hearing for the tentative budget for the year 2025-2026. We will turn some time over to Kyle to briefly go over what the budget is. Thanks for coming tonight. And you don't want to stay and hear the budget?
Where all your money comes from.
We're spending your money.
Good
luck. Did anybody hear that? Yeah. All right. I have a clear room, I guess. Okay, we have, we've discussed this at City Council, and you've seen the tentative budget. There have been no changes to the budget from what we discussed a month ago. But just in review, we have the general fund budget, which is $2,950,622 in revenue with the same amount of expenditures. Some of those things that we discussed in our budget retreat were covered or will be covered in the budget amendments coming up. And the other things that were discussed were the cost of living, increases to the mayor and city council, and police vehicle maintenance were the three main items that we covered that are in the new budget for 2026. Debt service has a total budget of $92,700 with expenditures the same. That is the fund that pays the bonds. Fund 48, which is our capital project, just has a budget of $7,000. It's what's remaining from the remodel of this building here, or this room. We'll leave it there. If there's anything that comes up that's $7,000 or less, we can spend that in next year's budget. Fund 51 is the water budget of $1,323,200 with expenditures to match. Fund 52 is the sewer budget, which is a pass-through budget to the sewer district. It's a $900,000 budget, and the expenditures are $900,000. Fund 53 is the irrigation budget. It has revenue of $155,500 with expenditures of the same. Fund 54 is the garbage budget, which is also a pass-through budget. Revenue of $378,000 with expenditures of $378,000. And Fund 55 is the drainage budget, $266,000 with expenditures of $266,000. And then we have a cemetery fund that is revenue of $11,000 with expenditures of $11,000. On the cemetery fund, it goes straight into the general fund for maintenance on the cemetery, but we have to maintain money in there for perpetual care. That is an overall budget of $6,084,022 with expenditures to match. I don't have anything else, Mayor.
Okay. We'll now open it up for a public hearing for any citizens that are here that would like to come up and make comments about the budget. Tell us how the what we're doing wrong or what we're doing right, and we welcome your comments. Nobody? Okay, if nobody wants to comment, we'll close the public hearing. All right. The next item on the agenda is our business items. First, we're going to have the council discuss and have a possible action to approve resolution R2025-05, a resolution adopting the budget for fiscal year 2025-2026. Any comments from the council? Blair, we'll start with you.
No.
Patty?
No, I'm fine with it, as discussed.
I think we discussed it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll entertain a motion then to accept this resolution.
Mayor, I'll make the motion to approve resolution R2025-05, the resolution adopting the budget for fiscal year 2025-2026.
A second?
Second.
A motion and a second. Darren?
Yes.
Micah?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Betty?
Yes.
Blair?
Yes.
Okay. The next item on the agenda is discussion and possible action to approve the Fields Condominium Conversion Project, a separate tax ID numbers, subject to the terms of a possible development agreement. Would you like to come up and address the council on that? And
absolutely. Thank you very much. I'm Blair Berger. I'm a developer, principal of the Fields Project. I'm happy to answer any questions, or I can just give you the quick rundown. You tell me.
If I can make a quick comment here for the benefit of the council, the Planning Commission reviewed this and approved it. It does meet all of the requirements of that particular zone. And so on that basis, the Planning Commission approved it. There was some concern expressed about the property, making sure that the property was used only for commercial purposes. For uses until such time that the zone has been changed for residential use. Also, some concern that was because it was right on the SR9 corridor there, we wanted to make sure that it remained clean, free of any debris, you know, stuff like that, stuff that some might accumulate in a commercial area. So, to make sure and he did have, we do have some language in the CC and Rs that would take care of those issues. The only problem with CC and Rs is that they're not enforceable by the city. They're enforceable by the owners association. If the owners association chose to ignore them, then that could cause maybe a bit of a problem. So I recommended that we do just a little short development agreement, and in that development agreement we include those provisions. That it be used only, property be used only for the purposes which are currently allowed by the zone, which is retail commercial, and until such time that the city and the developer agreed otherwise. And then the other one was that it be kept free and clear of any debris, junk, automotive, you know, that kind of stuff. And then finally that their development would take place in accordance with the approved site plan, everything that was approved, but that's the way the development would go. So we have that little development. I think Blair's had a chance to look it over, and I think he's willing to agree to everything that's in the development agreement. So with that.
Did you have any issues with the development agreement at all?
No, actually, any issues that we had, we were able to mutually agree. The purpose for giving the tax ID numbers is we do want to sell these to individual buyers and give them the right to own this asset. Yes, the CC&R is very detailed in terms of making sure that we maintain quality of the exterior, in terms of how, what they're allowed to park, how long they're allowed to park outside, all of the landscaping along SR9. We've actually improved. The city actually had the responsibility of that much grass, and somehow UDOT talked you guys into doing it, so the city talked me into doing it. So all of that dry scape that we did, and then all of the landscaping that's going to be done around is going to be well maintained. And to support the comment in terms of the CC&Rs being enforced is this development agreement, which I, as a developer, I've been for 20 years, I have a support. I like the city to be involved in the CC&Rs when they want to, if that makes sense, because there's many and CCNRs are not being adhered to. The city has nothing to do or has no enforcement in that. So I definitely want to comply with that, so we made sure that that was written into the program. Yeah, and I'm happy to go review. I reviewed it and ready to sign tonight. I've already signed the Mylars. I don't know if the Mylars are, if Derek has those.
I'm sure Derek has the Mylar, yeah.
Okay.
After the approval tonight, it'll need to be signed by the mayor.
Just the list of people.
Yeah.
Perfect. And just to let you know, we've already prepaid for all the permits for all the buildings, just so in terms of kind of a condo conversion. As part of our support in what the city needed to do, we actually prepaid for all 7 building pad sites. We've currently got four structures underway, and the fifth is we're going through the inspection process for the plumbing, so we can get that forward. So we're not changing anything via the site plan, so I just want to make sure you guys are very clear on that as well.
Okay. Any questions from Blair?
No.
Patty?
I just have one comment moving forward, Blair, and that's I know that you're very much in favor of them being work-live units, and so when that discussion comes, and it almost seems like maybe this could be dealt with now during construction, is I know that the Planning Commission talked about having half walls along State Street for not only for privacy of whoever would be up there on the deck, but also for the city, that it's going to look much better with the half wall. But when you're driving south on State Street, you can see up into the decks very clearly, and it's not a problem when it's commercial, but when it's residential, I have a concern about it being too open, seeing people's barbecues, whatever residential living that they might want to do, should the city approve that work live. So is there any, on those units that are most visible from the street, from traffic, is there any way to put up some privacy screens now while you're in the construction phase on those key units?
Yeah, so to answer that question, just to be very clear, guys, we are only advertising commercial. The zone is not allowing residential. We're advertising as the zone allows, okay? My intention, and after much conversation, is we are looking to put a live-work possibility. So we're going through that language and we put those steps in place, if you're not aware. As that continues, to get into your answer your question, is we want to comply in terms of if there is any modifications that need to happen as a result of any residential use. So currently, the decks that we have facing north on the north building are fully enclosed, right? Any deck that we have facing inside the community, we have as railing. Okay? Now, if there's specific on those end units, if it is to the best benefit of the city to enclose or match the same enclosed railing that we do on the north building, I'm happy to take a look at that. It's actually cheaper for me to do an enclosed than it is to do a railing. As long as we just make sure we comply, I take pride in how things look and feel. I don't want it to look out of place relative, but I think it would be very easy to encapsulate that deck on anything that's along SR9, which I'm happy to support.
Patty, okay. I think we need to probably discuss that a little bit. We're doing a lot of village commercial at the county right now, and there's some but there's discussion on the importance of eyes on the street and how much more, as far as crime and lots of factors. So there are advantages to being able to see down on the street from, you know, people who feel safer when there's eyes on the street. And also, as we move forward, I know we've already met all the requirements and whatnot, but another thing we talk about a lot is those street-facing units, to make sure they're appealing and it's not just a blank wall. So on this project, you notice some of those side walls are pretty blank, and moving forward, I think we need to be a little more careful that those, where you're driving by and see that it's aesthetically looks like a, you know, more open, more windows.
Yeah.
So. And one of the reasons we, if notice on the side, we did mostly just one flat wood wall. We didn't want one big, we wanted some variety, some textures, some different things. So as we move forward into that, I'd be happy to discuss whatever's the best thing for the city. To modify it after the fact is not as...
I think, and Laura, I think it can be discussed. I just wanted to know what your thoughts on it were, as so that if, and I'm not talking about blocking all view from the units or from the street up, but just a bit, you know, on some of the key units, and perhaps that would be addressed at a later time when and if the Planning Commission moves forward on the work live and then it comes to the City Council.
You bet. You'll find them pretty cooperative. Yeah. And I'll tell you, it's like, man, it makes sense. So I'll be honest with you, you be honest with me, I think we'll be all right.
I'm very happy with the different, what do you call it, facades, and it's really cool with how you're mixing that all up.
Yeah, we're going to have, like I say, the landscaping will be very congruent to what you currently already see, and then we've actually designed a kind of a putting section in between the two buildings, the one that's being built currently and the one that's existing. So we have some good commonality and some places where people can actually enjoy the amenities and the common space for sure. Other thing I want to make sure that you're very much aware that we have full security. I did full cameras at every corner. It's part of the COA. I call it the COA right now because it's not a homeowner association, it's a commercial homeowner association. And I'm happy to supply that design, and the city has it as well, to protect, you know, both the owners as well as for police to help support them. We actually did have some tagging that went on pre cameras, but when they're fully built, we've got all the cameras up, a lot of full security there for field as well.
And do you have any regulations, will you have any regulations on length of time that takes people to build? I'm just curious, it wouldn't affect whether you get this or not, but.
Yeah, one of the reasons why I chose to do all the exteriors is from the outside, it is done. That means that it's not like a half-built house, it's half-built landscaping. On the interiors, we suggest and recommend that any interior is done within a year of ownership. The CCNRs can help support that, but there is a certain amount of property rights that allow them to have enough time. One of the big major factors is anybody that owns these has to have a commercial business license for the benefit of the city. They cannot buy it without providing us, as the seller, a business license to operate whatever business they choose and whatever business is approved within that zone. So, again, we as the CCNRs have the right to inspect these units within a 24-hour notice period of time when they're in like a rental property. So they, as part of that, they are accepting and are willing to comply towards that as well. So then, as TI are done, they have to be permitted. They have to be inspected appropriately for any items that are on the side. We chose not to do any drains on the inside, just to let you know, because I don't want to deal with anybody dropping grease and in the sewer and so forth. There is no risk of that relative to any type of business that would possibly be contaminated in the sewer system. So hopefully that helps you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Martha? Baby said the Planning Commission voted in approval.
Yeah, they did.
Any more comments there? Okay. Well, I entertain a motion to approve.
Mayor, I'll make a motion to approve the field condominium conservation project with a separate tax ID number subject to terms of the possible development agreement.
I'll second it.
Are we including the development agreement? To the terms of. I think we ought to just make it a development agreement.
So not take the possible out.
Yeah, it's there. Are we okay with that? You okay, Faye?
Yeah.
We'll go in that order. And did we have a second?
I did.
We have a second. Okay. Blair?
Yes.
Patty?
Yes.
Dick?
Yeah.
Micah?
Yes.
Darren?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks, Claire. Thanks for being here. Appreciate your comments.
Yeah, I'll stick around and get that development agreement signed for you.
Okay. The next item is review and a possible approval of the city action to eradicate a nuisance at 120 North and 60 East. Do you want to take a minute on this, Chief?
Sure.
Tell us what's going on there.
You guys, in your package, you guys see the pictures that are in there. So since I've been an employee of the working city, this resident has been a nuisance since day one. 2 years ago, we sent out our first nuisance letters to the property owners. They have an address that's based out of California. And then from there, we never got any feedback put on. They never responded to us. So I was asked by our prosecuting attorneys if we would just send them citations. We sent them certified citations in the mail. And that kind of went just by the wayside. The property owner now has warrants for a nuisance violation. But in the end, the neighbor to the east has been kind of maintaining this property just so that junk wouldn't be continuously stacked up. The problem comes from another residence that lives on 60 East to the south of this residence. And over the past 5 to 6 years, they've established and told me that they believe the property can be homesteaded now because nobody lives there. I don't know, really.
Is that a new thing?
If we're in 1883, we're in 2025. So what we did this year is I had a conversation with Faye about the best way to approach this so that we could clean up that home and then, you know, make that neighborhood a little bit cleaner without more and more stuff being piled up into it. A year and a half ago, there was a fire across the street, and what that did is that then prompted that homeowner that believes that they should homestead this property because it's empty to take all the remaining fire property that was destroyed and stack it at this residence. So you can see from the pictures, they have a porch. It is stacked with stuff. You cannot get into the house. If you were even to try to walk around the house, there is over 100 bicycle frames, and in the past couple of years, he's actually added vehicles to the property. I'm coming here today because I was trying to coordinate with the family to the north of the residence and that also live on 60 East to get a dumpster. We would get some volunteers from our local centers that always want to help out the cops do some physical work. And we spend a morning literally filling up a dumpster with all of those pieces that have been abandoned off the property.
I think you might need more than one dumpster.
We're going to start with a dumpster for transit.
Okay.
Faye told me, hey, I wouldn't just do that. Let's ask the city to look into this as well, and so that you guys have an idea of what we battle. Over the last couple of years, we do have some nuisance houses in our city, right? And we've done a really good job of trying to work with those particular homeowners because of different things that they deal with. And we've had some compliance happen over the last couple of months with one person that has some jail hanging over their head. So this is one where we just, the homeowner and the house itself, when we go to like a Google map of where these people have their taxes and stuff going to, it's a like a post office box in Northern California. So the story that I have is these two the two people that live there, there was some type of a breakup in the relationship along with a mental pickup, and since then the house has been empty. And so...
So we've never actually talked to either one of them?
Well, from what I understand, one of the people that were on this title are deceased, and the other person is the mentally ill one.
Are the property taxes being paid?
Yes. Well, which I believe are in a trust.
Will the cost of the cleanup be added to the property taxes?
Sure.
That's what our letter informs them that the cost.
It'll be tied to the property.
The cost of the cleanup will be put back on property taxes and paid as a tax.
So, okay. Chief, will that just incentivize the person across the street? Now there's more room to load up the porch and bring some more cars and everything else?
Talking to the family, no. But am I going to make promises that somebody's not going to go over there and do their own scavenger and tread their own over there? I don't know. We keep a closer eye on it. I know that once we do clean it up, we'll take some pictures, we'll document it, and then with the neighbors around there helping, where we come into like criminal, right, is like he's saying one person saying one thing, another person saying the other thing, and we can't verify and prove. So this is kind of getting the ability to clean it up, make it a better spot, allow the neighborhood to kind of start to police themselves in a way.
Okay. Any discussion? Bud, do you have any comments on that? Betty?
No.
Okay.
I just don't want to get out that you don't have to maintain your property because the city will come do it for you. That's my concern.
There's a cost to that.
Well, I know, and that's good.
And I think we need to let people know that if they did it, they'd be paying for it. If it goes on their taxes, they don't pay their taxes, then eventually it'll get sold. Mm-hmm. Do you have any comment?
No.
Okay. Entertain a motion then to approve the action to eradicate the nuisance at 120 North and 60 East. Don't everybody speak at once.
I think it's time to be next.
Well, it's that end of the table now. Patty's been making them right and left. Come on down there. What are you doing?
Mayor, I'd like to make a possible approval of the city action to eradicate nuisance at 120 North 60 East.
Okay, thank you. We have a second.
Yes, from the last side.
You got the second?
Yeah.
Okay. Darren?
Yes.
Micah?
Yes.
Yeah.
Dick? Patty?
Yeah.
Blair?
Yes.
That wasn't that hard.
I don't think you'd have appreciated my comments.
Next item on the agenda is discussion regarding adopting the Washington County Water Conservancy District Conservation Plan. That is in your packet. This is just a discussion item anyway. Let me just read to you that the email I got from the district. It says, please remember this plan is still a draft. The state requires that we submit the draft in July and specify the participating cities. So we do not need the council approval to adopt the plan until it's final, after the state's review, and that's later this year. We simply need to know if you intend to adopt our plan or prepare your own. And so, this is something that the state's going to require. What they would like to do is prepare the plan for all the member cities, and then we could adopt that plan. But if we don't, then we would have to prepare our own plan and send that into the state. So, and
what they're asking now is just, are we okay with moving forward with the plan that they're preparing, which they'll bring to us when it's final later on in the year. But they're just wanting to know if the mayor, they've asked all the mayors to sign that we agree to that, to let them prepare the plan for us. If we don't want to do that, I won't sign it, but it's up to the council. So I'm just, that's on there for you to tell me whether we're going to let them do the work for us or if we want to do it ourselves. Derek's not here. I know he'd be the one doing it, so.
Mayor, I think it's a good plan that we have with them now. And regarding that, they're adopting Washington County for our conservative district conservation plan. If we make one ourselves, that'd be pretty.
I mean, we could do it, but
it'd take long.
Yeah. They have the resources and the ability to prepare it in a way that's going to be to the benefit of all of us. But comment, Darren.
I know that some of the cities have had certain districts that were exempt from some of the plan. Do we have any areas in the city?
Well, the discussion we had last with them is that this is really pertaining to culinary water use, and there was a little bit of pushback on some of the things that they were proposing. It's like if they went to a stage three, then front lawns that are using culinary water to water the lawns would go brown. And that was a little bit of a pushback, but realizing that if the water got short, we would have to do some of those things to be able to keep water for drinking and whatever. The question was asked, well, what about the canal companies? And it doesn't pertain to them. And so they asked us what our thoughts was. I said, well, we are on a secondary system, and so that wouldn't pertain to us either. We can keep our lawns green. Mm-hmm. Because we are on a secondary system where we're not using culinary water to water our front lawns. And so I think as far as we are concerned as a city, we're probably in as good a position as anybody. And yes, we do need to conserve. This is a rough year for water. We didn't get any snowpack at all in the Virgin River drainage. And all of the tributaries to the Virgin River are really low right now when we should be getting a lot of runoff, and it's not there. And so, as far as this year goes, the district thinks we'll have plenty of water for this year because the lakes are full, they're almost full, mm-hmm. but they're going to start draining those down beginning now because they're not putting water into the lakes from the Virgin River because that's going to the canal companies and to us, which is our secondary system. And so if water gets real short, we'll still be able to water our lawns on the secondary system because we have the better water rights on the river than actually anybody, other than a few people that up in maybe Springdale and Bronxville up there that have, I think we're third on the list on the water rights on the river. And the people ahead of us have small water rights. We have the water share. So I think we're in a good position, but I do agree that we need to conserve and we need to prepare for a possible water shortage. But so it's up to you guys. If you're okay with me signing that and let them do the work, I will tell them that we're okay. And then they'll present that plan to us when we get a final and we can approve it as a city.
Otherwise, we'll have to pay to have one on.
I'm in support too.
I just had a question that I'm trying to figure out on this little map. Lavergne and Washington and Santa Clara are kind of in a greenish blue color, separate, you know.
I don't know.
what that means. Maybe they just...
The works in Santa Clara, I'm saying, your systems, maybe that's just Washington.
Or maybe they just...
Washington has no secondary system.
No. Maybe it's just different colors, so you can see the difference.
That's what color of water is when you water your lawn.
See, Pocatello has a secondary system, but it's run by the district, too.
So, Mayor, on conservation measures, page 19, I noticed that just about everybody, municipal water prohibited for irrigation of new golf courses, and Leverkin is not checked on that. And
we don't have any golf course.
We
should have one.
The so the word new, what constitutes new then?
Well, I don't see where we could actually even approve a golf course because we don't have the water to do it. I mean, there's a possibility that maybe somebody could come in and bring water with them, but they'd have to bring enough water to water the course, I think. And so I know some developers would like to maybe see a golf course up on the hill with that property up there, but given the water situation that we have right now, I don't, that wouldn't look good.
So should we be a check mark that we would prohibit new golf courses?
We need to maybe keep it open so they're thinking. Keep them thinking. I'm not willing to check it right now, but we'll let them think about it.
Let who think about it?
The district.
Okay, and then swimming pool size limitations. Any reason? And there's actually only one who has checked that, but is that something that we want to consider as part of conservation? I mean, we know we have water rights.
That's Ivan's, right? That's the only one?
Here's my thought, is that we're going through this process right now for conservation, and we're also talking about reuse measures for our secondary system. And, I mean, that's moving quickly. The plan that the Conservancy District gives us matches with what the city wants, we'll be starting some of that work later this year, right?
Yes. The secondary reuse water actually won't be available to us until about a year from right now. But, yes, that is the plan, is to use that water in our secondary system, which will clean it up a lot more, and then with the settling pond, what we have to supplement with the Virgin River will make that cleaner, so we'll have a lot better water. And as the reuse grows, which it will, we'll get more and more of that, which they plan on putting in our secondary system.
I'm just thinking that at some point in time, probably sooner than later, we really won't have irrigation water. It will all be culinary water. Because the reuse water will be potentially certified to be culinary. So when we go through this, I guess I'm just kind of looking toward the future. I'm good with signing it, but kind of looking toward the future of, we really do need to be careful with our water, even though we have secondary. And I don't know that Leverkin's green lawns would sit well with the rest of the county. We'd probably get some pushback on that if we were, you know, the only ones with green lawns. So
it won't be just us, it'll be Santa Clara too. They
well, they'll gang up on Santa Clara before they gang up on
that's
us.
That's right, so. And
you'll get pushback from the contract holders if you don't give them the water.
I'm okay with a little bit of pushback from them. That doesn't bother me.
That's all I'm thinking is that, you know, saying
we really need to conserve.
Well, you know, when we approve for the water rate increase and this here, we're our own worst enemies. Because I heard several people say, we've raised things, we've lowered the amount of water they can use, and then they use that, and then they get a bigger bill for using another thing, which will conserve more water. But we conserve water, but I mow lawns in Washington City today, and they're still building massive subdivisions. We conserve it, they're going to take it. So why are we trying to conserve water?
Now, wait a minute. What are they going to take from us?
Our water rights go downriver. The Conservancy District's already told you, you told us that they have already told you that they are going to use those water rights because we have not been using them. We still own the water rights, but they are using them.
Let me correct you.
Maybe you better clarify that.
Let me correct you on that. What water rights we have and we don't use goes to the next water right holder.
Okay. And we conserve water.
Now listen, I'm not done.
Okay, go ahead.
The agreement we're trying to make, we're in the process of making with them, is that they will get the water we don't use in the secondary system and store it in the lake, and it will still be our water right. And that will be the water right we can, they can turn to drinking water, and we can use for our own system.
Now you're saying two different things there. You're
no, saying, I'm not saying two different things.
The water rights that we've let go downriver go to the next water user.
That's if we don't use them. But what the district is what the district is telling us is that if we go with this agreement, then they can step in and take those rights, use those rights. Now they're not taking them, they're using them in our position to store it and to be able to treat it to drinking water for us. And we don't use the, lose the right to it. So,
and the water rights that we've let go over the years are gone.
Well, it's a year to year. Your water rights are year to year. It doesn't matter what.
So we conserve a lot of water in Leviticus. We conserve and we conserve and we conserve and we cut our citizens down.
It will be to the benefit of Leviticus.
How's it benefiting us to let them use it and give it to a subdivision that's downstream?
That's the question, that's the comment we make to them. He says, no, you can keep those water rights.
And we can keep the water rights, but if the water is being used somewhere else, is it your water? If they were kicking us back the revenue they are getting off those water rights, using them.
The revenue will come from us when we buy them back. Buy the culinary water back because we have to pay for storage, transmission, and to treat the water. But that water will be available for us to grow. It's just like the rights we have out of the springs. They're not using those rights, what we don't use out of the springs, for anybody else. We can use up to those rights. We'll still be able to use up to the rights we have.
And I just see those subdivisions growing, and I don't see us taking any water away from them.
That
goes downriver from the Conservancy.
That's their problem over there. But we're still maintaining our water right. This is actually a really win-win thing for us. And they're, by doing that, they're willing to upgrade our whole system.
And I don't want to get me wrong. We did need to raise rates to replace things and do things. I agree with that 100%.
We're going to have to do that on our secondary system, too.
But when we start cutting back on the citizens for using water and get after them,
do you not want
then that water will be used somewhere else. Once it's used somewhere else, it will not come back, Kelly. It will not. It never has in the past.
Well, it's year to year, and we will. They're going to store the water for
year to year. But once they use it for a year,
next year if we want to use all our water, right, we still will be able to.
No,
every yeah we will.
I say no, we won't.
Yes,
we haven't so far.
Well, we
if we want to, we
we're making it harder for the citizens to use the water.
What Blair's saying is, why are we limiting it? We could charge more, right?
And use we can more. Charge more, but let's not limit the water the citizens can use.
That's what Blair's
saying.
If we don't have any excess going down the river or going somewhere, then there's no fight. And then when the time comes, that we need them water right. We need to add because we've got citizens moving in and stuff. Water is there.
We're not charging more for irrigation. We're charging more for culinary that costs us more.
We will be charging more for irrigation. So. Yeah.
Forget what I said.
Yeah.
they can temporarily use that water, but if we grow enough that we can use all of our water, that's too bad for them. We'll use all our water. We have that right.
It won't be sent down.
It won't be sent down. But
you have that right because you own the water right. But guess what? How are you going to take it away from somebody that's 10 times bigger than you and has already used it?
We're at the head of the ditch.
That's the thing you don't understand is by doing what we're doing, we're not giving up the right.
Okay, you have your water right, but if your water is being used somewhere else, you're not going to get it back. I don't care who you are.
That's the part that you don't clearly understand.
That's right.
We will use the water right for us if we own the water right. And if somebody's using it now, it's their problem.
It's never happened anywhere
else. It will, and it does happen.
It never happens anywhere else.
Yes, it does.
It's happening right now between the states. Better one that's pulling from the Colorado.
Exactly.
And if you have the rights to it, and now you say we need it, we've been letting it go to you.
It'd be nice for that. And our water is the cheapest water the Conservancy can get hold of right now. That's the reason they're doing it. They can't afford to go to the Colorado or anywhere else. Our water is the cheapest water they can get hold of.
There's no cheap
and
water.
And so they'll get hold of it.
Hurricane City uses our excess culinary water right now. Do you think we won't ever get that back?
I don't think you will once they used it.
Well.
You might. I'm looking down the road when me and you are both gone, the Fitch citizens will sit in here and they'll cry.
But if I understand correctly, that's what we pay our water attorney for, right?
Correct.
Is to protect our rights.
Exactly.
Through all of these agreements that we're doing to make sure that we don't send a few.
And we've got a really good water attorney right now, as far as I know.
And he's doesn't see an issue.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's what I haven't had a chance to go through this yet.
This is just the conservation plan that the state's requiring. Either we do it or they do it.
Are any of the other cities going to do their own plan? Or are they going to all adopt this?
I don't know.
I'd hate to jump in the boat and us be the only ones in the boat.
On the measure that came through last year, the year before, I believe they all finally signed it.
They did.
So kind of like the precursor to this.
Did they?
Yeah, pretty sure. Took a while.
And the email you read said it's not binding yet. We're just saying we want them to put together.
It's just whether, if you're okay with me signing it, we'll allow them to do the conservation plan for the state, for us, along with the other cities. I'll do that. If you don't want me to, I won't. But we'll have to come up with our own.
Do we need to have a vote? I would vote. Sign it.
Yeah, I want them to do it. Sign it. And I like keeping the check marks
just the way they are.
Off because it's a lot easier to add. Yeah. And then restrict everything and then try to pull it back.
Right. Is it okay?
Especially when there's golf course.
You golfers.
Hey, I can always hope.
Yeah. Are you okay?
I'm good with it. It's actually well written.
And you're not okay.
And I'm not okay.
Okay. All right.
Split
up. I will let them know that we're in favor.
Okay.
Okay. With one objection. Next item on the agenda is discussion and possible action to approve the bid for Zion Regional Trail improvements. And this, you want to take a minute on that, Patty?
You're
more
familiar
with that than anybody.
So the handout that we got this evening from Interstate Rock with the total bid price of $524,815.30.
Let's have Tyson come up too.
I was going to say that this is for the Zion Regional Trail phase through Cottonwood Hollow phase one. And this is Interstate Rock is going to construct the trail. This bill, the city, Lubbercan City, will send to the county, and the county will pay this bill. This is part of that $13 million for the Zion Corridor Trail. So none of this comes out of the city's pocket. So maybe we should discuss number five first, and then we can move to number six. So, Kyson, would you explain the phase and try to outline exactly where that is?
Yeah, so phase one is pretty much where all the existing homes are. So from the east side, we have a portion of a knuckle that's built out, just at the very top of 731. We're going to start at the back of that home. It'll run from there, pretty much running west until you get to Main Street. Once it gets to Main Street, it'll go down Main Street. So it'll head north down Main Street to get to the intersection of 740 and Main. And it'll actually head east for a couple hundred feet before it crosses 740. Once it crosses 740, it'll go behind all the homes that are along Main Street on top of the sewer easement. It'll actually dead end. For now, it'll actually tie into phase four, which is 10, I think it's 10-20. So it'll dead end into phase four, and then our second phase that we're designing right now would include from there to SR-17 and from the top side, the east side, across our property where they'll tie in at a future date. So phase one is pretty much behind all existing homes in Cottonwood Hollow, between Cottonwood Hollow and surrounding states.
So it is all of those homes up along here, this space?
Correct, yeah.
And that's behind your house, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So costs are a little bit higher because there are some substantial walls that have to be built to build there's about a 25-foot grade that we have to jump down from the top behind side of the estates and then transition to Main Street. And we have pretty strict, we did adopt the master plan, kind of the trail design guidelines that the county put out, and it requires certain slopes. So it in a sense ties us to be able, we have to have fairly big retaining walls to be able to make the slopes work. That would be phase one, is everything that's with the system.
And that's this cost here of the
that's correct.
$524,000.
Do we have a time frame on this?
To be hoping to start by autumn?
Yes.
Get started. You're
going to get into our schedule, which could be, I was going to say, if we get approval, we'd start a month from now, 2 months probably.
It is like everything else because the trail has been delayed for so long. You know, construction costs, material costs have gone up. But in talking with Leslie Fonger, who's managing this for the county, I think it's reasonable. And the other thing I'd like to add is the design on this is really well done. It does follow that trail standard study that the county collectively with the cities put out. The crossing at Main Street is really well done as far as the buffers going across the street. We're going to have a warning signal at the top of the hill so that drivers are aware that there's a trail crossing and pedestrians. We've got to have a stop sign for the users on the trail so they don't go flying out into the street, and then we repeat that on 740 North. So Kyson's design team spent a lot of time looking at different designs and actually changed them a few times to get the best product. So I'm really confident of this plan. I think it will be a really well-built trail that the city's always going to have to maintain trails, but I think this will be one that has a lower cost to maintain because it'll be well built.
But the county will maintain it, won't
they? No, the cities maintain the trails.
Okay.
And one thing, sorry, just to add, I think as part of the crossings, just so you guys are aware, what was approved was we will be ripping out or removing a good chunk of asphalt where the trail will go in, and that'll be replaced with concrete. Especially on Main Street, where the grades are supposed to be the 10% grade on the existing roadway, we'll actually be So not only will it, it's going to become a speed bump, so it will slow vehicles down, but on top of that, there will be additional landscape planters that, that actually take that roadway down through the trail section. So it'll naturally start to slow traffic down as they see that, just to help with. There's a lot of cars that go really fast down Main Street. It's been a concern for pedestrians crossing, so it will help for that on both sides of 40 on Main Street.
You will be billing to the county direct, is that correct?
My understanding with the trail is it was
city.
Billed to the city and then the city.
So we're going to have to come through our budget. Okay, that was my understanding to begin with.
Yeah.
Is there a reason why we can't just bill it directly to the county and then pay it?
Because
that would be, it's going to create a paperwork mess.
When, it has been this way, Kyle, when we did the design originally, it came through the city. And the county prefers it to come through the city. They had set it up. So we did have it that way initially.
I don't get paid in the butt. It's just another step in the process.
If you want, we can
bill
it up front. We can bill it up front, just one lump sum, so it helps you on the paperwork.
That might be the best. I'll just need to know ahead of time because it's not in the budget. So you bill us. We have to go through a budget amendment to amend the budget to do it. So it's not like we're going to cut a check 10 days after they bill us. So Interstate Rock's aware.
Any other questions? Micah? Dave? Any more, Patty? Are there any questions? Okay, so we need to approve the bid, then. Would we like to make a motion to approve this bid? It's only half a minute.
I'll make the motion to approve the bid for the Zion Original Trail improvement. Total bid price $524,815.30 from Interstate Rock Products. And Kyle, just on a note, not to change the motion, but I can check with the county and see if they're okay on this particular phase, it coming direct from Interstate. I think it might complicate things overall, but I can certainly ask.
Yeah, you can ask it. If we can manage it, as long as everybody knows it's not going to be a slam dunk at 10, as long as it takes a few weeks to get the payment to you, you're aware that maybe.
In construction until the. If you're not starting away, correct? Fall, you don't need payment immediately.
We would bill after the first month that we start. So if we have about 30 days of construction before we're working on the
project. And how long do you construct the project?
We're looking at about 4 months. The red rock walls, or the retaining walls that we're going to be installing are fairly tight with the trail that's there at Main Street, so it's going to take a little bit of time to install some of that. So between 4 and 5 months.
We have a second?
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Blair?
Yes.
Ready?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Next item of discussion, possible action to approve the expenditure of funds for the improvements at Design Pocket Park.
So that.
Do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, so there's the Zion Views park that we have that actually ties right into this trail because of some lovely kids that the walls kind of knocked down in some sections. So we were asked to put together some numbers to see if it's possible to have a tie point to to this new trail from Zion Views. There is a little layout, I don't know if everyone did get it, but there's a layout that kind of shows the existing one that we're proposing. We are looking to take down that privacy wall that's in the back and then be able to add some additional retaining wall, ready rock walls for aesthetics, plus something that can't be knocked over with rocks or anything. So what we're trying to do is, this is a very much a preliminary layout. Our goal is to be able to do a full design and be able to add it in as part of the construction that we're doing. So our scope and our proposals were just under $2,000 for the design.
And that is what we're looking for. It was $1,965 to do the full design. And then I did add a little bit of an engineer's estimate based off of the numbers that you received for phase one. It comes up to about $62,000 from what we're seeing this year.
Now, is this paid for by the city or by the county?
This would be paid for by the city. Yeah. So.
Do we have that in our budget?
Not right now.
So, this is. The reason this is coming up now is just that now that they're moving more quickly on the trail, that if this. Something needs to be done with this wall, period. That's been talked about before. But if we were going to do it, now would be the time to do it. It would be really nice, but...
We can get a design done, and then you guys can decide when we do it. But there's been a lot of money spent on trails over the last little while, and we may have to decide where we're not going to spend money on some trails. You'll have to prioritize where you want your trail money.
Well, you know, Kyle, thinking about this is that, I guess worst case scenario, let's say that we did the design now, approve the design now.
That's the 1965.
Yeah. So we approve that now, but then they start work somewhere between, say, October and January, and that's when this work would need to be done. It's almost like we could, I guess it would just cost more to do it later if we did it after the trail was done.
So what I did with the engineer's estimate is I assumed that it would be done separate so you can see it. So there's mobilizations included in the engineer's estimate. If we do it and we're already there working, we would not have to charge an additional mold. We already have all of our equipment guys on site. So there are some savings if you do it with the trail, but as it sits right now, if you're coming after, you'd be 16.
Okay.
Where is that? Estimate.
Mobilization is 2,000.
It's called Estimate for Zion Union Park Trail.
Yeah. And so you could save a couple of thousand dollars because of mobilization.
Yeah. So it's not a huge difference.
Yeah. And what I'm trying to get at is, I understand
we don't
saying,
have it in the budget.
We don't have the money, so you're going to have to take it somewhere. And it might be the trail that you want to do somewhere else that we don't do for a while. The council's going to have to decide because there's a finite amount of money out there for certain things. And unless we want to cut back to another department or something.
No, Kyle, I think, in my opinion, Mayor, I think that it where we have the difference in the cost, that let's go ahead and get the design done, and then if it works out that we can get the work done at a later time, because I agree, we didn't discuss this in our budget, we didn't discuss it on our priority list, so I don't feel bad if we can't do it right now. I mean, it kind of makes sense that we hold off on doing it because we've got other things that are a little more urgent as far as parks, recreation, trail. But I do think that we should go ahead and get the design work done.
Okay, then
I would agree with that.
The design work you can handle.
A couple $1,000 is a lot different than $62,000.
You can find that money?
Yeah, just tell four of those kids, they don't get their scholarship now.
Well, there's some of them going on missions, they won't get it right now.
Yeah, we've got 2 years.
I'm just kidding.
All right. Well,
the police department that we cut.
I always need one bullet.
Derek's not here.
Okay. Yeah, I guess it's Derek's department. He's not here.
Okay, well, I'll entertain a motion to approve the expenditure of funds for the design proposal of $1,965.
I'll make that motion.
Okay, do we have a second?
Second.
So a motion and a second. Darren?
Yes.
Micah?
Yes.
Dick?
Yeah.
Patty?
Yep.
Clint?
Yes.
Okay. So we're good with that. We'll work on the rest of it later. Thanks for coming, Tyson. Okay. That brings us to mayor and council reports. I don't have anything to bring up. So Blair, let's start with you.
And we don't have any meetings till the first of next month, so.
You okay?
That's where I'm going to sit.
Okay. Patty?
The planning commission had a work meeting last week, May 14th. They discussed the mixed-use zone, and this is it could be any combination of things involving residential and commercial, or residential and something else, commercial and something else, but specifically to the Birkin. They cast out a flyer, and this will be coming to the city council. This is the rendering. It's a hotel. It's a Candlewood suite, and it's the rendering of what the Roush Brothers Vital Packs would like to do on their property down State Street. I can pass this down so you can see it. That would be mixed use, where you have retail on the bottom and then potentially apartments on the top. But we heard from Blair Gardner with the Flexfields, and that's not what he's doing. He's doing something different, more of a work-live. You work below, and it would be primarily the owner or worker living above. So two totally different uses, all trying to be in the mixed-use zone. So what the Planning Commission is going to do is take it back under advisement. Brad Robbins with Sunrise Engineering is going to be working on some terms and possibilities and all that, bring it back to the Planning Commission to see maybe we have two different types of a mixed use.
Is this a work meeting that they wanted to have with the Council and the Planning Commission to talk about this, to make sure that we're both kind of on the same wavelength?
That was not discussed at that Planning Commission work meeting last week, but they'll be discussing it again, and that would be something that I think once the Planning Commission has a chance to work on the terms and that, I think it would be great to have a mixed meeting, a joint meeting.
I think we should, and maybe we're a little bit too early for something like that, but I think in the near future we need to, because if we're looking at doing something like this, we need to be together on it and not have opposing.
Well, I think so, and then when we have a joint meeting like that, the Planning Commission typically has already been working on something for several months, so they spend a lot of time and energy and thought of the pros and cons of things, and then council members come in and they're pretty new to it, and so this is just a good way for everybody to get on the same page.
I think so too.
And then the other was, there was a short discussion, more of a handing out of paperwork and terms and that for the Interstate Rock proposal to create a critical infrastructure materials protection area. The Planning Commission had not seen any data on that up to the meeting. So Derek and Faye wanted to just hand out materials for them to study, so they will study it. I don't think the next meeting, but the one after that. There were quite a few people who, residents of Trail Ridge Estates, who came to the meeting, probably, 30, and there were a lot of misunderstandings through social media.
Well, thanks for coming tonight.
I
appreciate it.
But Derek and Faye diffused that along with one of the chief's officers, and so it ended up very nicely. So that was the Planning Commission.
I think there's just a ton of misinformation that gets out there when something like this happens. And just today, there was misinformation on the water rate increases that we passed already. And this was somebody at work, and it happened to be talking to Christian Harrison, who was sitting here just a little bit ago and left earlier, and he says, well, you've been totally misinformed. He says, I was the only citizen there when this was passed, and it has nothing to do with what you're thinking it is. And so it's a lot of that misinformation gets out there. Somebody puts it on Facebook, and by the time it goes two or three times, it's exactly opposite of what we're planning on, or what we actually are planning on doing, or what we did do. And so we just need to be aware of that, and that's just what happens.
Well, I think that's true. And in this case, with the residents from Trail Ridge Estates trying to understand why all of a sudden Interstate Rock wants to have this special protection, I do have to say that with Faye and Derek going out and speaking with them, I think that calmed things down a bit. And then also last night, I guess it was, Chase and Bo Stratton, separate from the city, did hold kind of an open house here in the council chambers and set up maps and everything for the people to review, explain to them what their stance is, what this certification gives them, what it doesn't do. And just that openness and question and answer, I think, really helped, because I think that when you get people who are threatened about their homes, their water, their lawn, their golfing, you know, there's going to be a lot of just for you, Michael. Anyway, so yeah, the Planning Commission did a good job. So moving on from that, the only thing I have to report is that I did attend the DTEC meeting, and we have a new transportation commissioner to replace Nagi Zanotti, who was excellent. He happened to live here in St. George, and so Washington County benefited greatly from his presence, leadership. We have a new gentleman, and hopefully he will be as good. The other thing they did was they passed out a map that, and then we also got some paperwork from the Water Conservancy District, I guess, tonight. And this is just a map that shows Representative Malloy worked, I guess, with the Water Conservation Conservancy District, rather, to create lands that they would like to have and take from BLM. And there is a significant parcel in Laverkan on the top side. It's the area that BLM was proposing to close to disperse camping. So that's all the information I have right now. I'm working on it, but that's it.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. Micah?
Tomorrow, the American Legion is out placing flags on veterans' graves with volunteers. Anyways, we've got a flyer here that says tomorrow from 5 to 6 p.m. at the Laverkan Cemetery. They'll be doing that, and we'd love to have any volunteers show up to help do that.
Where we can get that information out to the citizens? You got it out already?
Okay.
Thank you.
And then just, there's 11 youth on the new youth council. They'll be here on the 18th of June to be here in the city council meeting with us.
Okay.
They'll have kind of a orientation training event up at the Ponderosa inside.
That's great.
Prior to that. So anyways, that's a great group there. And then we're just getting ready for the 4th of July and the 24th. The council has been invited by the Laverkan First Ward from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints that is doing the breakfast that morning, and they invited the council if they wanted to help cook the breakfast.
That's on the 24th?
That's on the 24th, yeah. Agreed. And the Pioneer family that will be recognized that day is the Vernon and Irvita Cox Church. Yeah.
That's great. Yeah.
That's it.
Okay. Tara?
We had our mosquito abatement meeting, and they're doing quite a good job over there. One of the mosquitoes that they, you know, this, I can't remember the name of it. It's the one that's kind of new to us that comes in fertilizer. But the key to that, us controlling that mosquito, is it's very quick. Water just needs to sit for 3 days for it to come out. And we don't have a big problem on our side of the county. It's mostly this year, or last year, it was mostly in the Santa Clara and Ivins. But they just wanted us to be very mindful of gutters, these little ponds, you know, or the kiddie pools, and just in your gutters, any sitting water. So, they have about quite a big reserve of money that they've been saving up. That they've just been earning quite good interest on it, so they haven't made a move yet. But probably in the next year or so, they'll buy the building next to them. It looks like.
Okay. Anything else? Okay, thank you. Faye?
Well, most of what I have to talk about concerns the application by Interstate Rock regarding this critical infrastructure materials protection area. It's not going to come to the City Council for another month and a half or so, a lot of what I have is probably a little premature, so I won't really bring it up here except to say I met today with Tim Anderson at Curt and McConkie. He's been retained by these folks up, what's your name, Kelly?
They sent an email.
Blake or what was his
name? Yeah, which, I can't remember the lady's name, the developer's name. Anyway, she's been retained by, he's been retained by her.
Why don't
represent
you tell
their
him?
Interests.
Why are you telling me you shouldn't be stealing money from her?
Yeah. And so I had an interesting conversation with him today. As it turns out, once they understood, and they didn't understand until I met with them, that the creation of this protection area has nothing to do with this new law that was passed, which grants them far more rights than the protection area does. And this new law also requires that they put on ownership plat of any new subdivision the language that there's a critical materials extraction area within 1,000 feet. That's part of the new law, as well as the SMPA law. So if we do nothing, if we don't approve the SMPA, they still have to have that language on the plat. And their main argument is, by having that language on the plat, that in effect it creates a taking property. It diminishes their property values, and it creates an unlawful taking under the Utah Code. Although I pointed out to him, I said, well, that may be, but we're not the ones requiring it. It's going to be Tocqueville, because they're the ones who are going to be approving development around the area, not the City of Bergen. We're not going to be reviewing the plat. We're not going to be requiring that language on the plat. It's going to be Tocqueville. So if you're going to sue anybody, it's going to have to be Tocqueville, not the City of Bergen. So they thought about that for a bit, and they said, well, we may just file a lawsuit against the state seeking to declare that whole thing unconstitutional. And I said, you know, have at it. That's what you're going to do.
Well, okay.
Go ahead and do it, you know. Make our life, in some ways, a little bit easier. But at any rate, so I had that meeting today with them. On the next Planning Commission meeting, it is on the agenda. The plan was, I think, was to have Interstate Rock come and make a presentation to the Planning Commission explaining exactly what it is they want and why they want it. Let the Planning Commission ask them questions. They would also allow people to come and attend the meeting but not make any comments. My suggestion was, to make it seem more fair, is to allow maybe appoint one representative to make comments as well, representing the people, so it seems like they have input, like they're not excluded from the process. That was my suggestion to our Planning Commission chairman and to Derek Inlay. Derek's not here, and I haven't talked to Alan, but that would be my suggestion for that meeting. Because ultimately what people really get riled up about is they come to a meeting and then they don't have an opportunity to speak, and they feel like we're then trying to hide something, or we're, you know, it's part of the good old boys network, that whole thing, that whole argument. So that's why I made that suggestion. And then one final thing, on June 5th, they're planning a little excursion down to the site. Interstate Rock is going to lead a little excursion, basically for the benefit of the advisory board, the county advisory board. But I think if anybody wanted to join in that thing, that would be perfectly permissible.
Are they inviting the travel edge people?
Yeah, well, no, they didn't invite those folks. I invited Tim Anderson today to come, but not all the whole group of people, just Tim Anderson, so that he could see exactly what was going on down there.
And do they realize that eventually that's going to be houses?
I made that aware of that fact today.
Yeah,
it's pretty clear to me that they really didn't understand how the new law affects what Interstate Rock wants to do much, much, much more than the creation of a protection area does. But anyway, so that's kind of where we are.
I came down, I think you came down too, right, Patty? And it was very, our attorney was there, Faye was there, Derek was there, answering questions. I was surprised that on Facebook, we had some police in there, and they kind of indicated we were trying to intimidate them or something, but I didn't pick up any language like that. In fact, I saw a lot of good back and forth, and they were upset that they couldn't go into the room.
Right.
But we weren't going to discuss that, and there was only like two or three.
Yeah, the whole purpose of that, having it on the agenda for that meeting, was just simply to introduce it.
Yeah.
And give them a packet, say, look, this is going to be coming up in the next couple of meetings. Read through the packet, you know, make yourself conversant with all the information there, and then we'll have questions and answers as we go through the next couple of meetings. So.
But Kyle is making comments on the Facebook page and clarifying some of that. I don't know if that's maybe something that we could be doing regularly.
Kyle was doing that on his own, and it specifically states in our personal policy and procedures manual that he's not to do that unless he specifically states.
I didn't think
it's his opinion and not the opinion of the city.
Oh, but the idea, I think, of maybe somebody clarifying some of those comments that I don't know if it's worth our time, but some of the stuff they're saying would be crazy.
I don't think you
Well, the whole gist of this whole thing, what it really boils down to, is this new law grants to Interstate Rock far more rights and privileges than what the Critical Infrastructure Protection Area would grant to them. So even if we don't do anything, they're still going to have all the rights and all the rights and privileges that they want to have, even if we don't do anything. Except for, maybe there's a couple of items, relatively minor in my view, but at any rate, the new law kind of wipes away any of the real impact of a protection area. But we'll talk about that more as it comes up. I'm just kind of...
So you're saying it actually protects it more?
The protection area?
Yeah.
Wait, the only protection that a protection area adds is you can't condemn it as easily, and you can't use the nuisance ordinance as a basis for, you know, bringing suit to stop what they're doing unless it relates to public health and safety. And those are really the only two protections. All the other stuff that would have been protections under the SMPA are already included in the new legislation, which they are entitled to without anything, with any action by the city. So
it might stop litigation, though, like pro-religious states type situation. It with that designation, the SMPA designation, I can see where it would be prohibitive to get an attorney to agree to take it on or something. So,
yeah. Anyway, so that's kind of where we are with all that.
Okay, thank you. That brings us to the last item on the agenda, citizens' comment, request for future agenda items. Any citizen that would like to make a comment now?
You're welcome. We better get a dog park before we get a golf course.
Stay off of Facebook.
Yeah, I've got a field you can use until
yeah.
Until we get one. So
cool.
Come up and I just planted it.
Hear that, Chief? Pass that on to the dog shelter.
Let me count your
council president's got a field we can use.
Not we.
All. Just for one
reason. Somebody.
That's from one of the students.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Take some cookies.
Oh,
okay. Cookies in your bag of cookies.
Oh, there's even one for you, babe. So, there's three for me, not just one, there's three.
Okay, maybe
one last quick question. If this new law is way more, it gives them much more. If we give them this designation, are there a couple of things missing out of that law? Or, I mean, do we need to not do anything because the new law provides everything they need?
I think, and I don't know this for a certainty, but I think that had this new law come down several months ago, you probably wouldn't have even seen them apply for the SMPA because it already provides them with a lot of the protections that they are looking for.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a couple of things that they may feel is important. Like I say, the nuisance thing and the zoning. And we can't change the zoning without their consent. And what was the other thing I mentioned?
The eminent domain.
Yeah, the eminent domain. It's not impossible to condemn it. You just have to jump through a few more hoops. I'm not sure why we want to condemn anyway. Because if we're concerned about a roadway or something through that property, that's something that we probably can negotiate at the time we grant the SMPA and include that in that.
And they're already willing to.
I know
they're
already willing to do that.
Yeah.
So.
I actually thought of something today that I can't remember what it is now, but it would actually be a protection for the city to grant it. So.
Extra cookies up here. If okay, there's no comments from the citizens, and we'll stand adjourned. Thanks for coming tonight.